2 Corinthians chapter 10. And our text for this morning is found there in the verse 1. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 1. Paul says, "Now I, Paul myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you." I want to take those words of Paul in the center of that verse, where he speaks about the meekness and gentleness of Christ. The meekness and gentleness of Christ. And these words describe for us what I have called Christ, the perfect gentleman. Of all the congregations that the Apostle Paul ministered to, perhaps the believers in the church at Corinth were the least spiritual. In the third chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there in the opening four verses we read, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy, strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal? And what was men? For while one saith, "I am of Paul," and another, "I am of Apollos," are ye not carnal? And so we see in his first letter, he describes the church of Corinth as not being spiritual, but as being fleshly and carnal. In his first letter to them, the apostle sought to correct the errors that were so prevalent in the church. In ministering to them, he had to point out to them their sin and their need to put matters right. To put matters right not only with one another, because there was a division amongst them, but also there were matters within the church that needed to be rectified. This, eventually, they did. And by the grace of God, were brought to the place where they mourned over their sin. If you go back to 2 Corinthians in chapter 7, 2 Corinthians 7, and there Paul makes reference to their mourning over their sin, the sin that he had pointed out to them. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 8. "For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a reason," or a season. "Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." And so here the Apostle Paul, in a sense, was sorry, that he had made them sorry when he pointed out to them their sin. But then he was glad and thankful that their sorrow was a sorrow after a godly sort, because their sorrow led to their repentance. And he wanted them to know that he had dealt with them as graciously as he could. And as he continues to minister to them here in this second epistle, he does so in the same gracious manner, as we read there in our text for this morning. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. What a lovely way for Paul to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says here that he wants to minister to them and endeavors to minister them by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. The word meekness has been described as the capacity to accept injury without resentment. That is, somebody says something to us or about us that injures us, that offends us, that perhaps hurts us. Well, meekness is the capacity to accept injury without resentment. Also, to accept praise without pride. Accepting praise in the spirit of meekness, without being puffed up. We take the word gentleness. This word means to deal with others with a sweet reasonableness. It is a word used to describe the clemency of a judge who is good and gentle as well as being just. Such meekness and such gentleness were seen in our lovely Savior. It is little wonder then that he's described as being altogether lovely. For when we look upon Christ, we see his meekness. We look upon Christ and we see his gentleness. And what a lovely disposition he had. We can describe him as the perfect gentleman. So I want to look at these words and, with the Lord's help, consider the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. Let us look first of all at the character of Christ, the perfect gentleman. When Paul spoke about the meekness and gentleness of Christ, he would have had in mind the character of the Lord Jesus. And we think of his character, we think of his holiness, the holiness of Christ. The Lord Jesus, of course, being God, manifest in flesh, he is all holy and without a trace of sin. He is all holiness. And holiness in the life of a Christian will produce meekness and gentleness. Have you ever met a carnally, worldly minded individual who exhibits meekness and gentleness? in his or her life? Not at all. The two are incompatible. But the Holy Spirit filled man or woman will show forth this meekness and gentleness of Christ in his or her life. Remember what took place at the beginning of our Savior's earthly ministry. At his baptism, we're told in Luke 3 and verse 22, the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. So the Holy Ghost came upon Christ at his baptism at the very beginning of his ministry. And over in the Gospel of Luke, there we read in Luke chapter 4, as the Lord Jesus faced Satan in the wilderness. We read in Luke 4 and verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was full of the Holy Ghost. He was led by the Spirit. Verse 14 of Luke 4, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And so Christ had the Spirit of God resting upon him. The Lord Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Ghost and with power. And then as he began his preaching ministry, once again in Luke chapter 4, we read in the verse 16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me. And he informed them in the synagogue there in Nazareth that those words of Isaiah were fulfilled. That day, the Lord Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. And being filled with the Holy Ghost and having the Holy Spirit resting upon him, we read then about the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. As we have said, the Spirit-filled man or woman will produce the meekness and the gentleness of Christ in their lives. You go over to Galatians. There in Galatians, in chapter 5. In Galatians 5, we read there about the fruit of the Spirit. And in Galatians 5, and there in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. Notice Spirit is capitalized, so it's the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against us there is no law. So what do we gather from the references we have given to you? We gather that the Spirit-filled man or woman by the Spirit of God will produce this fruit, the fruit of meekness and gentleness. We've just read that in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. So the two virtues which Paul referred to are part of the fruit of the Spirit. And that fruit was seen in Christ. And that fruit is to be seen in us. We are to have the Spirit of Christ. We are to have that meekness and gentleness of Christ. It is to be seen in our lives. As well as the holiness of Christ, the words of Paul speak to us of the heart of Christ. The Savior was pleased one time to open his heart to his hearers. He said unto them, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul." And so there's the Lord Jesus, and as I say, opens his heart, and he tells us, "I am meek and lowly of heart." So Christ had meekness, lowliness, and gentleness in his heart. Now we know that what is in the heart will manifest itself outwardly in a person's life, in their actions, and in their behavior and conversation. Over in Matthew's Gospel, there in chapter 15, the words of the Lord Jesus. In Matthew 15, the Lord says in verse 18, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man." These are the things which defile a man. That is, if a man has evil thoughts, murders, and adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies in his heart, then those things will be seen in his life. Those things will be seen in his life. They proceed out of the heart. If there is evil in the heart, then a man will walk according to the evil that is in his heart. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." What he has in his heart, that's what he is. He's no different from what is in his heart. But if a man is full of the Holy Ghost, if a man or a woman are led by the Holy Spirit, then what is in the heart will be seen in the life. If a man is meek and lowly of heart, that then will be seen in that person's life and character. If there's meekness and gentleness in the heart, then that will be seen in that person's life. Just as if, as we've read, if there's evil in a person's heart, that will be seen in their life. It's what's in the heart governs how a person lives. Turn over to Acts chapter 8. And there in Acts chapter 8 and verse 18, "And when Simon," not Simon Peter, another Simon, When Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that in whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God." So his heart wasn't right. What did his heart then produce? Peter says in verse 22, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness," that's what's in his heart, "and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." The thought of thine heart. He had wicked thoughts in his heart, and it was seen then in his life. Look at the next verse. "For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." That's what was in his heart. Bitterness and iniquity. And because it was in his heart, Peter said, "It is seen in your life." It was in his heart, so it's demonstrated in his life. He was in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. The gall of bitterness. There are many today, and they claim to be believers, and they're in the gall of bitterness. Somebody has said something to them. Somebody has done something to them. They've been offended. They've taken offense. As a result, their heart is filled with bitterness. That ought not to be. That ought not to be. Paul spoke about the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. You look at this Simon in Acts 8. Professed to be a believer. He was baptized. But he did not exhibit the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. You notice the holiness of Christ. That's what produced the meekness and the gentleness. We notice the heart of Christ, that's what he had in his heart, meekness and gentleness. And then we have the humbleness of Christ. Do these words, meekness and gentleness, not speak to us of just how humble the dear Savior is? Is the common assumption that when a man is weak, when a man is meek, it is understood, falsely of course, that he is also weak. Many mistake meekness for weakness, and it is understood that when a man is meek, he cannot help himself. But the Lord was meek, and he had the infinite resources of God at his command. So he wasn't weak. He was meek and gentle, but the Lord was not weak. He is God. And as we've just said, he had the infinite resources of God at his command. And so often, when people get into a position of power and authority, with little sign of meekness and gentleness. They usually like to show their authority, and they like to exercise their power. Yet no man had more power or greater authority than the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul spoke about his meekness and gentleness. Consider the power of Christ as he spoke, as spoken of by John. John 1 verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by him. There's power. There's authority. He had power to speak the worlds, the planets, and the stars into being. Yet the same Creator, Christ, was meek and lowly of heart. He who has the power and authority of a king, yea, the King of kings and Lord of lords, at the same time, is meek and lowly. For what do we read about Christ? As he entered Jerusalem on his way to the cross, and the people gathered to see him. And as he rode into Jerusalem, we read the fulfillment of the words of the prophet, as recorded in Matthew 21, verse 5, "Behold thy king. Thy king cometh unto thee, meek, meek, and sitting in a carriage drawn by white stallions." Not at all. "Behold thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass." There's the meekness of Christ. He who is King of kings and Lord of lords. And yet he rode into Jerusalem upon a beast of burden. No wonder Paul spoke about the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. He who is the King of glory is at the same time the perfect gentleman. To consider the character of Christ, the perfect gentleman, that leads us then to consider the conduct of Christ, the perfect gentleman. We have only to look at how the Savior conducted himself during the years of his earthly ministry. And as we look at his conduct, we see his meekness and we see his gentleness in everything that he did and everything that he said. It is seen in his walk before men. At no time did the Savior lose his temper or say a word that he later regretted. At no time did he do something that he had to later apologize for. At no time did he do anything that was hurtful or harmful, because he is the perfect gentleman. That's the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. At no time did he behave in a sly way. Did he behave spitefully or say anything sarcastically. At no time did he seek to deceive any man, or degrade any individual, or defraud anyone. You see, he is the perfect gentleman. That's the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. He was not known as a brawler, but was known for his meekness. He was not known for being aggressive, but was instead known for his gentleness. He was not quick-tempered, but was meek. He was not hard in his attitude towards others. Instead, he was gentle. You see, in every way, he is the perfect gentleman. That's what Paul meant when he spoke about the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. It was seen in his walk before men. This meekness and gentleness is also seen in his words unto men. The dear Savior was meek and gentle with words that he used as he spoke to others. Even when his enemies came and spoke to him with unkind and uncharitable words, Christ responded in the spirit of meekness and gentleness. Even when they sinfully insulted him, still he was meek and gentle. Will you turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 11? For there in Luke 11, we read in the verse 14, "And he was casting out a devil at it, and it was dumb. And it came to pass when the dumb was gone out, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and people wondered, but some of them," there's always some of them, "but some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them," how did he respond? How would we have responded if somebody said something like that to us? Referred to us as a devil. How did Christ respond? Verse 17, "He, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided itself against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub." He didn't get angry. He didn't get mad at them. He gently rebuked them. That's how he responded. He rebuked them with meekness and gentleness. He didn't call for fire to come down from heaven and consume them because of how they had insulted him. Because that's what it was, a terrible insult. Instead, he gave them a soft answer. Solomon, in Proverbs 15, and verse 1 writes, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." somebody says something to us that we don't agree with or that offends us, we try to think of a quick answer, maybe to hurl the insult back at them. Not Christ. The Lord Jesus gave a soft answer. And that soft answer turned away wrath. You look again in Luke chapter 11. You see in Luke 11, this time, verse 27. Look there at verse 27. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. In other words, the woman was praising him. How did the Lord respond? How did he answer? In verse 28, but he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Remember what we said at the beginning about meekness? Meekness is the capacity to accept injury without resentment. They had just called him Beelzebub. But the Lord dealt with them with meekness. The capacity to accept injury without resentment and praise without pride. Well, here this woman praised him. But there was no sense of pride. For he answered, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. There are, of course, many examples of the meekness and gentleness of Christ in the words which he spoke to men and women. We could spend a series on dealing with the words of Christ and how they exhibit his meekness and gentleness. But there is one incident in the Savior's earthly ministry to me stands out with regard to the meekness of Christ. You go over, please, to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. And there we read in Matthew 26. In verse 48. Judas has led this band of rebels to the Garden of Gethsemane to arrest him. And we read in the verse 48, Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Heal, Master. And kissed him. Now Christ all along knew who would betray him. He knew that Judas was the betrayer. And the absolute hypocrisy of Judas is hard to take in. He came and kissed the Savior and cried, Master, Master. How did Christ respond? And Jesus said unto him, Friend, Wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. How would we have responded to an act of betrayal like that? To have someone pretend to be our friend when all the while they betrayed us behind our back. And here is the disciple Judas. And he entered into a covenant with Christ's enemies. And they covenanted to give him 30 pieces of silver. And here he leads that mob into the Garden of Gethsemane. And he has told them all, the person that I kiss, that will be the sign. And he goes straight to Christ. And according to Mark 14, verse 45, he cries, Master, Master. Imagine, called him Master. And kissed him. And the Savior then responded by simply saying, Friend. How would we have responded? I don't know if we could have found it in ourselves to call that person who deceived us, to call them friend. Christ did. That's the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. He is the perfect gentleman. We've seen the meekness and gentleness of Christ in his walk before men, in his words unto men, and also in his works for men. We've seen something of this as we have considered the miracles of Christ. We've seen that meekness and gentleness as he was moved with compassion. When he saw the leper that day and reached out his hand and touched him, everyone else would have run from the leper. Everyone else would not have wanted anything to do with the leper. But yet here is Christ. He was moved with compassion. And he reached forth his hand and touched him. The meekness and gentleness of Christ. Consider how meek and gentle of heart of the Lord's heart that day. When he came face to face with a weeping widow woman. The widow woman of Nain. She was walking behind the coffin of her only son. She had already lost her husband. Now she lost her son. Was taking him to the place of burial. And we read in Luke 7 verses 12 to 14. And when the Lord saw her, he was moved with compassion and dealt with her in meekness and in gentleness. You recall the day that the mothers came to Christ with their children and how the disciples rebuked them. And yet we read in Mark 10 and verse 13, when the disciples rebuked those mothers, when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. He said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive this kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them and blessed them. There's the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. there a more gentle physician than Christ? Was there ever a more gentle friend than Christ? Is there ever a more gentle and meek person than the Lord Jesus Christ? There never has been, and there never will be. He's the perfect gentleman. We have considered the character of the perfect gentleman, we have considered the conduct. In the last place, we have the consideration of Christ, the perfect gentleman. In appealing to the Corinthian believers, Paul spoke about the meekness and gentleness of Christ. That was the spirit in which he had ministered to them. And that was the desire of Paul's heart, that they would also demonstrate the meekness and gentleness of Christ. That's what the Lord wants in us. A person who perhaps has a quick temper, or is grumpy, or is always complaining, do well to consider Christ. The person who holds spite, or finds it difficult to forgive, or who is not very caring, do well to consider Christ. That's what Paul said in Hebrews 12 and verse 3, consider him. For surely every Christian wants to be more and more like the Savior in character, in conversation, and in conduct. There you have, first of all, is the Christian's desire. Would it not be our desire to show in our daily lives the meekness and the gentleness of Christ? After all, the Savior himself did say, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Matthew 5 and verse 5. And surely that's the blessedness that we would all desire. Indeed, we are exhorted to desire and seek that meekness and gentleness of Christ. If you turn, please, to Colossians. There in Colossians, the Apostle Paul says in chapter 3 and verse 12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forgiving one another, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Put on, as though you're putting on a garment, but it's a garment that we put on and we should never take off. Paul said again in Titus 3 and verse 2, speak evil of no man, be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. There Paul includes the two virtues again. Speak evil of no man, be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness. Gentle and meekness unto all men. And when we consider the meekness and gentleness of Christ, would it not be our desire to be more and more like him? Lamb of God, I look to thee. Thou shalt my example be. Thou art gentle, meek, and mild. Thou was once a little child. Fain I would be as thou art. Give me thine obedient heart. Thou art pitiful and kind. Let me have thy loving mind. There's a desire Where there's a desire, there'll also surely be a display. That is, as believers, we ought to display the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. When dealing with difficult and cantankerous individuals, let the meekness and gentleness of Christ be seen. When we are mocked and laughed at and made fun of because we're Christians, then let us display the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. When we feel that we have been wronged and treated unfairly, let us still display the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. Oh, to be more like the Savior. Oh, to be more like the perfect gentleman. Oh, to ever show forth and display the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. Loving Jesus, gentle Lamb, in thy gracious hands I am. Make me, Savior, what thou art. Live thyself within my heart. Christ, the perfect gentleman, because in him we see the meekness and the gentleness in all that he did and all that he said and everywhere he went. Let's bow in prayer. Loving God and eternal Father, we pray thou would write this word upon our hearts. And O Lord, we do not add up to what we ought to do. Lord, help us by thy grace to make us more like the Savior. That we will exhibit those virtues also of meekness and gentleness. Lord, be with us throughout this day. May we rejoice in this, the Lord's day. Turn us to thy house this evening. And in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship